Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just joning on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, aha.
Welcome to Bit Season, Episode 5. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
And I'm AWOD.
Our producer, Adam Epstein.
Yeah, our awesome producer. Our distinguished producer.
Still sticking around. Thank you guys for downloading the show.
Yes, and a milestone for downloads. Yeah. By the time you're hearing this, we've eclipsed 50,000 downloads. Woo-hoo! For Bit Season.
That's a pretty big deal. I like it a lot.
That means you guys are spreading the word. Telling your buddies about it. So thank you very much for downloading and listening to Bit Season and sticking with us through 5 episodes.
Yeah, we have a lot of momentum. It was a huge week on the show, and we want to say thank you to Nat from Wave Soda. We love Nat. Show is sponsored by Wave Soda. Super refreshing, low sugar, and a little bit of caffeine. Check out San Diego's solution to a better-for-you soda. Wave Soda is a perfect beverage to pair with your meals and your cocktails, and we got some big news for the Bit Season listeners. What is it, Valdez?
That if you use promo code BIT when you order your Wave Soda, you don't get 15%. You get 16%.
I love it. It's so petty.
It is. I love it. It reminds me of the 8-minute abs routine with Harold Williams.
Yeah.
So why don't they come up with 7-minute abs?
Yep.
That's us, one uppers.
So if you're enjoying Bit Season, we don't get anything for this, but it'd be nice to know that Nat knows that people are checking out Bit Season. Yeah. and loving Wave Soda as well.
And we love Nat. Nat's very supportive of us, and I appreciate his text messages encouraging us and everything. So we love Nat, and we want you to support Nat.
As you guys know, we record the show on Thursday, and this week, the Thursday show, there was a lot of energy. It was pretty spectacular. It was loose.
Loosey-goosey.
And people were getting after it, and there was a lot of joning.
Definitely joning.
And actually, I was in the crosshairs from the very beginning of the show, and I didn't really understand it. Not even from the beginning of the show, AWOD. From 5 a.m. when we get here, had immediately started.
I saw Drab walk in, all right, and I had my head buried in the computer, and Drab had this S-eating grin on his face.
All right? That's not why I was smiling.
He was smiling at 5 o'clock in the morning when he walked in, and I was like, why are you smiling? And then I finally saw his Eddie Bauer sweatshirt, and at first I was looking at it, and I thought it was like a MTV Moon Man thing. It kind of looks like Buzz Aldrin on the moon.
Yeah,
the flag.
A little bit.
All right, it kind of looks like the VMA award, the Moon Man. But he had to explain to me that he's got Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Harry and the Hendersons holding the American flag on his sweatshirt, his overpriced sweatshirt.
First of all, not overpriced. It was on clearance.
I can see why it was on clearance.
I bought it right after the 4th of July at Eddie Bauer. I knew I had to save.
Whoa. They put that out, a sweater out on 4th of July?
Well, you know, in the Pacific Northwest where this retailer originates from, it's a little bit cooler on the coast. So, yeah, maybe.
I didn't know the Puget Sound was 30 degrees.
Not 30, but you know what? I had to wait till fall to wear it.
Had that in your closet.
But I didn't necessarily wear it because it was Bit Season.
Did your wife pick that out, or
she
did
actually
you?
Doesn't even know I own this. I was actually so ashamed that I bought this. So not ashamed, was, but
so he knows it's ugly.
Hold on. It was such a questionable purchase that I immediately stashed it in the drawer underneath all the other free sweatshirts that I have. And today was just the day where I said, you know what? I'll try it out. every once in a while, we all have a new look that we want to try out to see how it goes over. Some of them are hits, some of them are not.
You remind me of a little child whose parents dress up for some sort of occasion.
I'm not giving up on it yet. I remember one time I came in here many years ago wearing a newsy hat. A cap?
Yeah. Cabbie?
Yeah. I didn't think anybody would notice or care. And I got joned on for an hour straight on Big O and Dukes. And I never wore it again.
Of course. You look like a Christmas story.
I don't like this place.
Everyone has an eye out. Just basically sharpening their knives and daggers in the corner, just waiting for something new to happen so that they can pounce on it.
I don't like that people at real jobs or people who live in the city, urbanites, they can wear try out the latest fashion trends.
Right.
And you know, nobody cares or says anything. But if I wear a sweatshirt in here with Bigfoot on it, it's the story of the day.
Here's what's so funny. If you were at a real office and you wore that on a casual Friday with your slacks,
right,
you would be getting so many compliments and high fives and everything. And you come strutting into the radio studio wearing that. The crosshairs are on you.
Let me tell you, when I bump into Sam Wiener later today in the break room, he's going to give me a fist pound.
Yeah,
he's going to love it.
You two frat bros are going to be wearing, because Sam wears whale vineyard vines belts and salmon colored shirts.
Hey, let's not let Valdez off the hook though. I know what he's doing as well, because I said something to him last week about how he was looking a little sloppy on the videos, and he was commenting on his yellow teeth and stuff, but he's also wearing like t-shirts, old t-shirts and stuff. So I said something, and then he told me earlier this week that he went out to Marshall's and bought a bunch of new polos for bit season.
The camera the camera element adds a whole lot to everything.
Oh, and I need our 15-second clips.
Our 15-second clips. It has me self-conscious. I have a pimple on my cheek right now. Right here.
Well, your 5 o'clock shadow is hiding it.
Yes, exactly. That's why I didn't shave. But I have a pimple. I went to Marshall's. I got some flannels for fall, and I'm going to be wearing those on Thursday.
We're on TV every day. Why do we care about bit
season?
We're
not on TV every day.
Well, most days, if we want to be, we can be.
I don't because the clips are more intimate.
They are.
We got a camera stuck in the corner. It looks like some voyeur has a hidden camera.
AWOD's very upset about the new cameras, by the way. He's like a video snob, and so he says that NBC Sports Washington still is... They went cheap.
I mean, look, they're using Logitech. I mean, that company hasn't been silly since 2005.
I think Logitech made the first webcams.
Yeah, it did. But here's the thing about Drab's outfit, okay?
All right.
And Valdez,
I want to hear your analysis.
I want to get your take on this, because I've felt this way about Drab T-shirt for a long time, and he's going to get upset when I say this.
Here we go.
Drab T-shirt is a poser. He's just posing as the hottest fashion trend. You know, he tries to look like what all the rappers are looking like, all the hot singers are looking like. Like Justin Bieber would wear a shirt like that, man. You can't pull that off. You're almost 40 years old.
I will say, a 40-year-old does not wear that type of sweatshirt, but I don't know if...
I bought it from Eddie Bauer.
Who did you rip off? Did you rip off?
Only lame old white guy shop at Eddie Bauer. I'm not trying to be Biebs or a rapper AWOD. I liked it.
What are you doing in Eddie Bauer?
I was on my way to Finish Line and I saw it.
Did you see in Eddie Bauer?
No, there's not any zaddies there. Just a bunch of old guys that think that they want to go hiking on the weekends. Fine. I'll just go back to wearing radio.com free hoodies that we get from here.
You know, if you wore that with some dark brown corduroys, you would be zaddy material.
I think it accentuates my man. I think it's the real reason why I'm not going to wear it again.
I mean, I think if you had long flowing hair, you could pull as a high schooler right now.
Well, that's my hair left a long time ago.
I think the fact that he has a hat with it on, like a sporting hat.
But the hat matches. I will give him that. Like, Drab's big on matching colors.
Of course it matches, but just the hat is kind of weird. That's all.
It's a Gonzaga hat.
No, I just mean it's kind of like a sophisticated...
I didn't know people care about my outfit this much.
I mean, they do, you know.
Right. Well, we joan on the guys all the time for what they're wearing, so
yeah,
it's only fair to get attacked some of the time.
I will say, if we're talking about outfits now,
yeah,
I want to start bringing back vests because I think vests are awesome.
Yeah, he's been selling me on wearing vests.
I'm so out on vests. What is he thinking?
Speaking of old men, like, why would any of us wear a vest?
Yeah, tell me some pros for vests.
Because it gets chilly. All right. Well, I love vests because
it's 83 degrees in this room right now.
Well, that's because you have the thermometer on hell.
The thermometer.
Whatever, the thermostat on hell.
All right, tell me on vests.
All right. So vests accentuate your arms, just make them look bigger. All right, it's sleeveless vest, quarter zip vest, or a full zip vest, either one. All right. And what they do is they hide your man boobs and tummy.
Well, I'm into that.
Because the vests aren't as tight as the shirt. And when the shirt sticks out, it's tight. So it makes your arms look massive.
But why wouldn't I just wear something with sleeves? I'm already out of shape. I don't want anybody looking at my arms.
No. It makes your arms look better. Because the vest is covering over all the bad stuff.
When I think of a vest, I think of like, who's the Ohio State coach?
Right now?
No, the guy who wore the vest all the time.
Jim Tressel.
Yeah. That was a silly look.
That's a silly pool for a non-sports podcast.
Yeah, that is pretty good. By the way, rundown filled with sports stuff that Adam wanted to talk about. You want to talk about Ron Rivera.
Hey, that's going
to
be our weekly thing as we cross off all the stuff that Adam puts
on.
But
mine was a non-sports angle. Valdez took like 5 shots at the head coach of the Washington football team this week, calling him a DEA informant, and we're not going to talk about it? Bitsy's material.
Look, a lot of people don't realize that satire and hyperbole are part of the comedy element.
You think that you really wound Adam up like he was believing you?
I think dullards like Adam believe that I think that he's a DEA agent.
No, but I think Valdez really believes that Ron got a phone call and said, hey, get out the building. Somebody's coming.
Oh, I believe that.
Of course.
Yeah. I definitely believe that.
You think Ron washes his car in the middle of film session?
Yeah, think about it. Come on a Friday afternoon. Yeah.
It was fishy.
Ron Rivera's at a car wash.
All right, crossing that off the list right now.
He wants to talk about Taylor Heinicke, I'm sure.
I don't want to do that.
No.
This week we are talking on the show about a lot of food talk. Which that's some of my favorite content on the show, and it's been a relatively new thing on the show where EB gives his food reviews. What some of the things he's reviewed recently are the chicken sandwich.
Oh yeah, he's big on fast food reviews.
Right, was he the Burger King chicken sandwich
not only that, but the nuggets as well.
The nuggets, yep, and then he gets
he's in the chicken war.
He's in the chicken war.
Definitely entrenched in the chicken war.
And then this past weekend, he was all hyped up because he was going to go to Pepe's in New Haven and try the world famous pizza from New Haven.
A pizza.
And Eric's a stoolie, and it's so like weird because this is like goes back to his like him growing having a mullet and thinking like he's a 20-year-old lacrosse player. Eric is a stoolie.
He's a hardcore stoolie.
It's so like he's 55 years old.
But he pretends not to be. Like he's like, oh, I had to download the dumb One Bite app.
No. He's the world's oldest stoolie. And so he's getting a kick out. Like he loves Dave Portnoy. And so he wanted to do his own One Bite review. And he knows that Dave's big on New Haven pizza. And so that's how he knows about it. And so that's why he wanted to. And he knew all the names of all the places up there, Pepe's and Sally's and all the places that he could try out this new style of pizza, apparently.
Well, first of all, I feel like an idiot. Because I didn't know New Haven pizza was a thing.
I only knew it was a thing because I had seen it before on those pizza reviews. But if you would have asked me 3 years ago, I had no idea what New Haven pizza was.
All I knew is that New York has good pizza. There's a deep dish pizza in Chicago somewhere. And then California Pizza Kitchen. That's about the only thing I know about pizza.
And you say you know about Detroit pizza.
Well, I know about Detroit pizza from the commercials that...
You had never heard about it until Pizza
Hut
came out.
Never heard about it until Pizza Hut did the commercials.
They got all kinds of frozen pizzas that say Detroit-style pizza, Detroit Pizza Company.
How is it different than Chicago-style?
They put the sauce on top.
Isn't that what you do in Chicago-style?
No, deep Chicago dish? Is just deep dish. It's like the tomato pie is underneath,
yeah,
and then
the cheese
is on top.
Like,
it's like a that's like a deep, deep crust.
It's like a lasagna almost.
There's all kinds. There's
you mentioned a St. Louis pizza.
I've
never heard of St. Louis
pizza. I've never had it. It's they don't use mozzarella cheese. They use their own style of cheese. It's a cheese I've never even heard of. I don't even know the name of it. I just know that they use their own style of cheese that you can't get anywhere but St. Louis. It's some like white plasticky cheese thing. I don't even know the name of it. It's like a Velveeta type cheese.
Like a Whiz almost.
Yeah, it's like I think it's fake cheese.
Oh, that sounds trifling.
It's Provol processed cheese.
There you go.
Is there any other pizzas that I don't know about? Is there a Chesapeake pizza?
Well, everyone has like the regional, like they'll put their regional toppings on it, but I don't think that makes it a style of pizza. Like you could have a crab pizza.
Right. But I've had that before. Or seafood pizza.
Styling of the pizza is more about the crust. You got your hand tossed, your crispy, stuffed crust.
I feel like a pizza idiot.
You kind of are a little bit. Not as big of an idiot as JP, who can't figure out the difference between margarita and cheese. How many times did he say that this week?
Isn't
a margarita cheese?
Yeah, he kept saying margarita
with tomatoes
pizza.
And basil, you idiot.
Yeah, it's basically, it has tomato as your sauce on it. Margarita pizza does not have sauce. I know that. It just basically has a tomato.
A tomato, sliced mozzarella, and basil. Right. And olive oil, I'm sure, is all over it. But EB explained to him 10 times, and I helped out, what New Haven pizza was. I could understand if you didn't really know what it was. We told him 10 times, and then he just kept saying over and over again, I don't know what New Haven style pizza is. It was ricking me to no ends. Of course you don't know what it is. We're telling you what it is.
It's clam pizza. It's white clam pizza, basically.
But EB was tilting. When he was like scared to get in line, he didn't want to sit outside. He didn't want to eat by himself. Normal people do this.
I like the image in my head of homeless looking EB sitting in the corner of a pizzeria that's run down and old school, and then him eating or ordering two whole pizzas for himself
and eating one slice of the clam pizza. Right? Then didn't that's all he ate of it? Wasn't?
No,
it?
He ate half of each. He ate half of both. Yeah. I just imagine him sitting in the corner. Hey, Miss Waitress, can you come help me out? Like he can't read the menu like a normal person.
I don't know. I don't want to give him that hard of a time. It is kind of a special place.
When was the last time you asked a waitress for help on a menu?
Well, look, if you're making this retreat to get this special kind of food or special thing, you want to be 100% sure you get the authentic whatever. Like I've never gotten a Pat or Gino's cheesesteak. But if I went there,
you better get a Wit Whiz.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I would make sure I ask a million questions and I get it exactly how people order it there.
Can I tell you something about restaurants? So I'm going to give you a tip that actually will change your life.
All right.
When you go to a restaurant, my wife taught me this, and you're going back and forth on two different items, not a legendary restaurant. Just say you're going to like Bertucci's or something. Right.
Right.
And you say, what do you recommend? Oh, I'm looking at these two items.
That's a great move.
I'm looking at the Alfredo pasta, and I'm looking at the chicken parm here. Which one would you like?
Which one would you get?
They are going to tell you their opinion, and you are going to order what they tell you to almost every single time.
Correct.
And as soon as that food comes, you're going to say, damn, I wish I got the chicken parm.
Drab, they're and upselling you. No, they're telling you to buy the more expensive one.
They just tell you, no, not all the time.
No,
I was a waiter, and they told us at Uncle Julio's, upsell them. Tell them to get the Jalisco. It's the most expensive on the menu.
No. If I'm asking you between two different things, I'm giving you an option. Which one would you recommend, waiter?
What would you get?
I understand
any kind of options, but if you're stuck between the two, you ask them which.
Every time you'll eat it and you'll be like, damn, I wish. No. So don't ask. Here's your tip. Don't ask. Just pick one. Pick the one that you're leaning towards.
No, I always thought it's good to ask. Because they know how the sausage is made in the back.
No,
they know which one is gross and is disgusting and sitting in filth all day.
No, that's not true. They're going to tell you the one they like. Their personal taste. Your taste is different than theirs. Just get the one that you already know you're leaning towards.
Because you'll have FOMO.
Yes, you'll get it. You'll be like FOMO. This parm, Alfredo sucks. I should have got the chicken parm.
Yeah, but look, here's the restaurant tip. I'm the real fat one in the room here. You go into a restaurant. You get your eyes out and you look at every single table when you're walking in. You see what's the most popular thing on the menu. Oh, he's ordering the chicken. You know, he's got the parm. He's got the spaghetti. You see what everyone's ordering and you order whatever is most popular.
Hey, were you upset that the Junks had all this pizza talk and you weren't involved?
Yeah, I mean, there was no pizza bang and drop. That was terrible producing by you. Drab, has me on speed dial every day to call me and tell me I'm late, but didn't want to get me to chime in on pizza talk.
What do you know about New Haven pizza?
I know it's silly. I know everything there is to know about pizza. All right. I know the sauces. I know the toppings. I know what I know. A difference between a cured pepperoni and an uncured pepperoni.
Wow, really impressive stuff.
Pizza's always been here.
You're a regular Papa John.
So then we were talking about the food, the pizza stuff.
There's a lot of food.
And then Valdez and I started talking because this past weekend Valdez made nachos.
Yes, I made nachos for the Ravens.
We talked about it on the show, right?
Yeah. I don't know if it was on the show, but I made nachos for the Ravens-Broncos game.
Sometimes we're doing our own show so much, and we're so I can't separate what's going on in that room and what we said on the air.
I will say this. We probably didn't talk about it on air because it was a Redskins Monday.
It was, yeah.
No shtick allowed on Victory Mondays.
It is tough to get in non-sports, even though we do aim to do non-Washington football team segments at least once an hour on those days. Now, most of the time, it's JP doing the blitz, but we try to cram in at least one non-sports story.
Usually,
it's like the parlay or something at 9:45. No control on Mondays.
But anyways, I made this nacho plate on Sunday. And I was telling Drab about it because when I was enjoying my nachos, all I could think about was Drabby. Because Drab is the nacho connoisseur. You say you're the pizza connoisseur, the pizza expert. Drab, I would say, is the king of nachos. He knows everything about nachos. He knows what makes a great nacho plate. So I look up to him and his nacho expertise.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I know I've left a mark on this world. If people are thinking about me when they're eating nachos, which is one of the top meals in the world.
Lamar Jackson is throwing 300 yards, and I'm thinking about Drab's big lips while I'm scarfing down my nachos.
He's wanting to know if I would approve of these nachos or what I would change about it.
Right.
It actually makes me feel good. Right. We're talking pizza nonstop for an hour straight on the show. Not one person thinks of AWOD.
Exactly.
Because he's irrelevant.
But I was eating my nachos, and I didn't want to text Drab. I said, you know what, I'm going to wait until Monday because the Seahawks game is on, and I don't want to distract him my nachos. So I'm going to wait till Monday. Let me hurry up and snap a picture of this before I dig in. All right. And I presented the nachos to Drab, and how would you have graded them?
Spectacular.
Really?
I was actually...
Do you have
away.
A photo on you right now that I can put into the video?
But here's also the problem. Valdez has made me nachos before, and they were some of the worst nachos I've ever had.
And that's honestly, and that eats at my soul. And I
want to redo.
Yeah, because I remember that was an on-air story like a couple years ago when you guys hung out.
Yes.
Weren't they soggy?
Yeah, I made soggy nachos because I prepped them about 2 hours before I went over his house.
Right. You should have made them at my house.
Exactly. And I will never live that day down. And I'm always overcompensating by trying to make the best nachos possible.
And here's the problem. He wants a redo. He wants a second shot at showing me that he can make nachos.
But that means I have to hang out with Drab, and I don't know if I want to do that.
We never see each other after Friday.
It's not going to happen. No. But so I want you to listen to this nacho plate that I made.
Okay.
All right. And try not to your pants, Drab.
All right. Write that down.
So I made the store-bought nachos, or not the store-bought nachos, but the ones like they make on site. They put in the bag.
Store-bought tortilla chips.
The tortilla chips.
Yeah.
Not like Tostitos scoops.
No, but like Safeway brand or something like that.
Yeah, it's the freshly made chips.
You know, if you actually really wanted me to blow me away, you would have made them yourself.
All right,
It's not hard.
You
make your own chips?
Yeah, you don't know how to make your own chips?
How do you think you make tortilla chips?
Okay, so I would think that you would take a tortilla, you would fry it in the on the stove, and then cut it into 6 slices, make a little chip, like a fried chip. I think
no,
I'm close.
Not really.
So anyway, I laid those out in a cast iron skillet. I had some flank steak left over that I cubed up.
When are you eating flank steak?
Steak all the time.
I want to know where Valdez is getting his money from.
What do you mean?
Lurch's meat, guys?
I know what I eat for dinner, and it's cheap ass bottom of the barrel food, like ground beef. Maybe ground beef one night a week if I'm feeling good.
You don't know how to shop.
I'm eating box macaroni and cheese. I'm eating top ramen. I'm eating like a poor man. Valdez, he doesn't. I don't know exactly what he makes. I know he doesn't make more, you know, enough money where he's eating steak 5 nights a week, all the time. Valdez is out buying steaks.
I do enjoy steak.
He's buying crab, seafood for $40 a container.
It's all on sale.
But I've heard his story. Doesn't he go and it's like it expires in 30 minutes and then he'll buy the meat?
Yeah, I get that.
He gets it right before it expires.
I know, but he makes these meals with 17 ingredients.
Drab just can't understand how I have leftover steak laying around that I can put on a nacho plate.
It bothers me. If I make a meal, 3-4 ingredients tops. Valdez, he's buying every vegetable. He's buying every...
It looks like a Wolfgang puck.
He's buying all the cilantro and the parsley. He's buying so much wasted food he just throws out at the end of the week. I know he does. For one of these meals.
So I cube my steak.
Yeah.
All right, get me to my nachos. I cube the steak up, put it on there. I cut up some red bell pepper and some onions, and I put it on top there. I scorch some shishito peppers, all right, on the grill.
He just likes saying shishito peppers. It's like we're going to be blown away by that.
All right, so I scorch some shishito peppers that I dice up. All right, I got a good guac and sour cream ratio.
What color are those?
Can you say shishito
peppers? I can't even say it. Shishito?
Shishito.
I've never heard of
shishito.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Because you're a rube. All right.
That goes into what we're going to talk about.
All right. I got some diced jalapeno. I drizzle some queso on top, throw it in the oven. Beautiful. And do you know what Drab said to me? It made me the happiest man in the world on Monday.
What did I say? I don't even remember.
Drab said, when I showed him the picture of my finished product before I dug into it.
I remember, yeah.
He says, that nacho plate looks like an app at a Hard Rock in Cancun.
It does. It actually looks spectacular. And I'm jealous that he made such a perfect plate of nachos. And it did. It looked like it would be served at some tourist trap in Mexico, sitting on a coastline, enjoying a margarita.
You know, I'm going to show you this picture, and you're going to say it looks like Uncle Julio's. And you work there.
I mean, the cheese was like melted.
Perfect. It was perfect.
But one compliment.
It invigorated. It's not enough.
The competition was on for Valdez.
I need more. So after we do that, Drab decides.
So that was Monday.
That was Monday. Drab decides he wants to do a dinner challenge.
Valdez never knows when I'm just throwing crap against the wall. He takes everything I say so seriously. I jokingly kind of said, "Hey, yeah, we should make the same dinners and compare."
That's right up my alley.
All right.
Cuz I like competition and I like making dinners.
I said that and then I forgot about it immediately. I came out my mouth, never thought of it about it again until
what Drab's saying is that Drab is always on my mind.
No, that's not true. I'm just making conversation. Right. And so Valdez, yeah, he loved that idea. And next thing I know, I'm getting home from work that day. It's like 3 p.m. Valdez says, "It's Taco Tuesday. We're making dinner tonight. Let me see them pics." I'm like, what the F is wrong with this guy?
He was very demanding.
So demanding. First of all,
I'm trying to hype you guys up for the taco challenge.
He's got nothing going on. So little. He hyped us up that it was Taco Tuesday. Do you know what time that text?
I hadn't even eaten breakfast. I had just woken up.
The picture of his dinner came in. I looked at the phone.
What was the timestamp?
On Tuesday, he sent us a picture of his dumb tacos at 4:31.
That's what time I eat dinner.
Oh my god!
That means he started making that meal at about 2:30.
That's about right.
It was so many ingredients, so much cooking. I sat there and wondering, what the hell is Valdez going to do for the next 4 hours? He's got nothing to look forward to until he goes to bed.
Well, you made a good point in the text message, though, is that he hid the meat.
He did hide the meat. So much fluff on top of that dry ass chicken.
Well, Drabby sent a picture of his taco Wednesday, and he might call my chicken dry.
You know,
his ground beef looked like a big pile of duty that he scooped out of Tinsley's diaper.
That's not fair. First of all, I told Valdez, I said, first of all, you just can't spring Taco Tuesday on me.
Tuesday. Every Tuesday's Taco Tuesday. Like Who doesn't know that?
Like, I'm going to run out to the store and buy a bunch of ingredients to make for dinner that night.
Well, I assume that everyone has supplies in their house to make tacos.
So I told my mother-in-law.
Go to Giants.
When you go to Giants tonight, will you get some ingredients? We'll make tacos tomorrow.
I liked your tacos. They weren't as elegant as mine.
No. Valdez look like something you'd find at
puff up the presentation a little.
Yeah,
bit.
He's got so much like junk on there.
It's not junk.
Like, what was the orange sauce? You had some
that
sort of orange.
That was a spicy chipotle aioli that I drizzled.
Yeah, the sauce looked silly. Way he drizzled it, it looked like he put some care into it. Drab's tacos though? Drab's taco shells looked like a door stopper upside down. They were the most ugly, disgusting taco shell I'd ever seen.
Those are called boats, by the way. Those are life changing taco shells.
It's actually, I'm so happy you brought that up because I couldn't believe you had no idea what those were.
You'd never seen those? They're all over the Hispanic aisle.
They look cheap.
They're cheap.
They look cheap and tasteless.
Let me tell you something. Tortillas are cheap, dummy.
Tortilla shells are silly. They taste great. They have salt on them.
You realize those things are basically the same exact things you use for a chalupa.
They looked like lettuce, like white lettuce.
I can't believe you have no idea what a tortilla boat is.
Their listeners are right. You are so dumb. All that it is, it's the same taco shell made by El Paso or Mission or whoever makes it. They just form it into a boat so
that
it
you're not folding everything
it
over.
It doesn't spill out.
Yeah.
It looked lifeless. Yeah. Use a soft taco shell then. I mean, come on.
It is
on.
A soft taco
There's
shell.
There's no way that
it's
tasted good.
It's a flour soft taco shell,
I bet I could chew my fingernails and it would taste better than that damn
this
shell.
This is what happens when you have prepared material. Okay.
Adam, what do you make at home?
Yeah,
what
you guys were asking me
is.
This. When was the last time AWOD cooked? I don't cook, okay? But you also think I Uber Eats every day. I don't. I go to the aisles and I find lean cuisines and the devour meals. Anything microwavable. Toss it in that biatch for 5 minutes and then stir it up and it tastes good.
I actually feel
That's
sad,
a sad
for
life.
Adam.
Yeah,
when's the last time you've had a home-cooked meal?
When I went to my mom's
looks
house
like
for
every
her
day
birthday.
By me, but that's
he really is. He's living a child's life. You're joning on me for looking like a child today. Adam is living a child's life. He doesn't know how to pay bills. He doesn't know how to cook. He doesn't have sex. He's literally. I'm telling you, we've talked about this before on the Junkies. Adam's life was destroyed.
It was halted like at the age of 14.
No. He stopped his. And I feel bad about this. This is the truth. When his parents got divorced, Adam stopped maturing.
That's not true at all.
He reverted back to childlike tendencies?
No. He just stopped. Oh. He didn't revert.
What age did your parents divorce?
I was 22. I was already fully matured.
I was not
getting buns before that anyway.
All right.
That's
well,
not
what,
true. You told us that as soon as high school ended or your senior year of high school that your parents told you they were getting divorced.
What's the fondest memory you have of your parents together?
I don't know. I mean, birthdays were always silly.
All right. Well,
I know your parents weren't divorced at 22. You were on the show at 23 and they'd been divorced for years or separated for years.
No. I graduated college and I came home. And I lived in that house for about a month, and then they got divorced and separated. I didn't. After college, I didn't have a place to live because of that. So they were divorced right after college.
Well, something happened at some point in his life.
He's reverting back to his.
It has nothing to do with my parents' divorce. I was sloppy my whole life, my whole childhood. All right, I never knew how to fold clothes. That has nothing to do with my parents' divorce.
I know, but eventually you transition into adulthood.
I get sized to. I'm Peter Pan. All right, I get sized to never grow up.
Peter Pan is tiny.
Wendy's silly.
It looks like you've been eating a lot of Peter Pan peanut butter.
Hey, at least I'm not eating it out of the trash, Valdez. All right, I heard that this week. Come on.
You know, that's a pretty good comeback.
That was a low point for you.
That was. It was very embarrassing to be caught.
See, I don't understand
basically,
that.
Dumpster diving.
He can afford steak at home, but when he's here, he's dumpster diving.
Look,
something's fishy.
Look, you can't take the hillbilly out of me.
Still wants to save a buck.
At the end of the day, I was taught to be frugal. I was taught to clear your plate at dinner. I was taught make no waste. And when I saw those peanut butter things, and I will say this, is that the packaging made them look expensive.
I think they were expensive originally.
All right, the packaging was very intriguing.
And
it was in the trash.
It wasn't like a jar of unopened peanut butter in the trash, but it looked like this expensive boutique peanut butter.
The reason why I think it caught your eye is because it's not regular peanut butter. It's like workout peanut butter. It's protein, extra protein.
Yeah. They advertise about high protein.
Yeah, it's for like after a workout or something like that. That's what caught his eye.
It definitely caught the eye when it said protein 10 G's on it. Right. On the back. So I said, oh, I could use that. And so I went into the trash like George Costanza. All right.
Those gifts were making me laugh.
All right. There wasn't that much trash in the can, and it was sitting on top, and it was packaged. So I thought I just brought it out, and I stuck it on the table, and then I tried the toffee coffee peanut butter, and it tasted like expiration.
Right, of course. Of course.
It tasted like mold.
Yeah.
At what point, sticking your hand in the trash, did you realize I'm a donk?
I realized it after the fact. That it was just going to be Joan material. And that was my white trash instinct taking
over.
You
don't understand. They were in the trash for 10 seconds. I dumped them. I walked around the corner. I came back. They were on the lunch table. And then I started asking everyone, who took the peanut butter out of the trash?
Who did you think at first took it out?
JP, for some reason. I don't know why I thought JP, because he loves throwing stuff away, but... He's also incredibly annoying sometimes, so I thought it was JP who was just like being a busybody, getting involved in things that didn't concern him.
Like, oh, I could use these after my runs.
Then I thought Cody Betts, who's on the midday show because he's a workout guy. I actually didn't think about you at all. I was asking everyone, cakes, landfill.
Were you shocked that it was me?
And then once I heard it was Valdez,
put two and two together.
It all makes sense. Oh, Mr. Ollie's bargain basement guy over here.
But those are something that would be in Ollie's markdown. That's something that I would go to the clearance rack for and purchase.
Right. So there's a lot of food talk this week on the show. A lot of fun. I always enjoy EB stories about reviewing food. I want more of that.
You know what we're going to do, too, is at some point we'll put my nacho plate and our tacos on our IG story or something like that so people can see them when we're talking about
After
you hear this.
Last thing about EB, though. I wanted to see, he actually went up to the bus driver and said, can you hold this for my daughter?
Yeah, that was a weird thing.
That's
that
so
I
funny.
Too.
You think a bus driver wants to hold soggy old pizza?
Yeah, by the way,
he's smelling up the bus.
This bus driver, you know, let's be honest, driving a bus, it's kind of a thankless job. All right. You probably have all these entitled Ivy Leaguers that you're chauffeuring around.
They're probably singing songs.
You know, let's be honest. If you're driving a bus, you're probably not, you know, making the big bucks. And you're probably...
I think that's a decent job if you're driving like a charter bus around.
Well, I imagine it like a school bus.
No, it's a charter bus for like big, silly college kids.
Oh.
Athletes.
It still probably smells.
Just when you hear bus driver, you think of your school time.
Okay,
you
thought of your school driver.
Yeah,
driver.
No one's singing hail to the bus driver nowadays.
All right.
All right, and then you have this homeless old man... who is giving you this cold pizza and it's your responsibility to look after it.
Well, I'm guessing he's stashed it somewhere. But.
Well, I know, but, you know, what if you get hungry? Someone could take it. You know, this person's looking forward to the pizza. You're responsible for that person's pizza, but you're already responsible for everyone's lives on the bus. The last thing you want to worry about.
It's a difficult job.
The last thing you want to worry about is someone's pizza toppling over.
You should have tipped him.
That would have been nice. Right. I think so.
What do you make a clam pizza? That sounds awful.
I'm intrigued by it because I like clams. I like seafood.
And I like clams too. I like fried clams. That's the only seafood I'll eat. I get sized for fried clams. But on a pizza, I don't know about
that. I get sized for real clams that you steam and you put in pasta with a white sauce.
Right.
So clam pizza is right up my alley.
I do like the idea of going to towns and trying pizza.
You know, Eric's like a regular Guy Fieri.
You know what I liked about Eric this week, even though it kind of irritated. Eric's listening to Bit Season, and he came up to me this week, and he said, "Drab, I've been listening to Bit Season. I have to tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. You get everything wrong. All your predictions about us, you're wrong about everything." And he said, but it actually crushed me. I don't even remember what I said last week that I was wrong about.
It was something about his life crisis. About making or an extra 500.
Oh yeah, I got the 500,000 wrong. He said it was 500 to 1,000. Maybe he's right. Maybe that's what he was referring to, and that's what he said. But I heard what I heard, and I thought he said 500,000.
Right.
But then he said, "I said, dude, you're killing me. Every show you come in here and you tell me that I get all my predictions about the junkies wrong." And he said, "Well, I have one prediction for you. You were right about cakes." And I said, "What part?" And he said, "The cakes only cares about the small talk."
I noticed, well, I didn't notice it, but I was conscious of it this week. And
of Cakes coming of in Cakes and asking you in. About fantasy football. Yeah.
You know, if it doesn't intrigue Cakes or make Cakes laugh, mm-hmm. he really doesn't care.
He
and
unplugs.
He'll at least fake care if it's about fantasy.
Yeah,
and poker.
And you know what Eric said, and maybe I don't think he'll care that this is on the show. He said, "You know, Jason will let you know that he doesn't care about you.
Yeah,
you know that Jason doesn't care about you. He's uninterested. He leaves the second. He won't talk to you. Cakes is fake. He's fake nice to you.
Yeah,
but deep down, Cakes doesn't care about you at all.
At least Jason is honest about it.
Yeah.
And then he went on to talk about how Jason was putting his arm around him at the steampunk appearance.
Yeah. I guess in front of rich people, Jason will pretend like he likes you.
And by the way, I've heard the word steampunk
enough of steampunk.
10 million times this week.
I was wrong about that last week where I said, they're not mentioning the name of the company because it's off the books. We come back on Friday morning. They said steampunk 1,000 times on the show.
Yeah.
It was so annoying.
I've never heard of steampunk in my life.
So many details about that company.
Wearing steampunk hats.
Someone told me they're coming on, they're advertising on the station now too.
I don't know.
Or they're about to.
Well, why bother? They've gotten their share of ads.
They get their plugs every morning. So that was interesting. There was obviously a big story on the Junks this week. Some people are saying a Hall of Fame segment.
Yeah,
or
and
two
that was,
segments.
And that was the Thursday show.
The Thursday show just a couple hours ago.
So I recommend going back and listening to the Junks show before Bit Season, before we break this down.
Absolutely. A must listen before we talk about Tim in D.C.
Yeah, you're going to want to pause Bit Season now, go back and listen to the 820 and 845 segment from the show so you know what we're talking about.
Will you give me some credit for my radio instincts?
I mean, that was a layup.
It was a layup, but I could have tried to force it into a 740 segment, 745 segment, or run up against a guest. I perfectly placed that in the middle of the show where I knew we could get officers to call in the second segment to offer advice.
You got to give him credit. He is very good at placing segments. It's the one part of producing that he's very good at.
You think I fish for compliments?
I'm setting my own compliments up here.
I mean, you got the biggest,
said, give me credit.
You got the biggest rod and reel looking for some producer compliments.
I mean, that was, yeah.
But that was perfectly produced.
Thank you. And it was a good caller.
It was easy to produce, but it was perfect.
It was very easy to produce.
Yes.
Even though I did have to, I had to sit through that story for all 30 minutes beforehand,
I saw Drab on the phone.
The guy's texting me nonstop, giving me all the details.
Drab was on the phone with this guy for 20 minutes. And as soon as I heard escort back page, I said, oh, this is going to be good.
And the donk's trying to get me to go to this website. He's telling me the story. First of all, I don't want to do that while I'm at work. Second of all, you're telling me the cartel's trying to kill you because you went to this website. You think I'm going to go to ebackpage.com and start poking around to see what I can find?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Or it looks like Sicario in the opening scene with heads in the wall.
Yeah. So he sent me these pictures, and we can't show them on, I mean, obviously to anybody, we can't tweet them out, but they're the most graphic photos ever. Looking at them, I told him, I said, dude, these look like they're from the internet. Like, these not, it's like someone didn't take these photos. In fact, I may have even seen some of these photos before. So
it's basically someone screenshotted LiveLeak.
Drab, what was he like when he was talking to you? Was he like really sad and crying
and
scared?
No, he was doing nervous laughter. He was laughing a lot.
Really?
Yeah, you could tell when he was on air.
He even said like that when he came on air.
Like, he had some fright in his voice, but he was definitely laughing about it. Because I think comedy is his source to get over with stuff.
And he's friends. This guy, This is why I love the P1s, the people who listen to the biddies, by the way. We'll have to get into that later.
We love our biddies.
There's a P1 out there that was thinking about the junkies so much that when his friend told him of the story, he said, I don't know, man. You got to call the junkies and ask them.
I want to know why this P1 and why this friend of the show immediately thought of the junkies when he heard this story.
I think he, like Dreb, he knows good radio and he's been listening a long time. And you guys can probably figure it out if you think about it.
I know he wants to be anonymous, but this guy gets the Junior Producer Award of the Week.
He does. And hopefully, I don't even know if he listens to BitSeason, but if you do, you definitely get the Junior Producer Award of the Week. The guy, first of all, Tim in DC, incredibly entertaining, good storyteller, got to the
point. Yeah, he told the story very well, and that was with all of our interjections, too.
Except for JP, who goes, this is so convoluted. It was the easiest story to follow.
It was very easy.
Like when he's talking about how he's going to pay the person and JP was lost. But that's because he's like technically, he's a Neanderthal.
He doesn't understand that anyone can get your
Zelle
info.
Cash App. He doesn't understand how people get your information. So I was actually concerned, and I actually hope this guy. Everyone just said, it's a scam. You're being scammed," and so now he's just going to ignore this guy. What happens if it's not a scam? Like, is there any chance? Is there a 1% chance that these are like real bad guys that will come? They'll come after him.
Right. So Tim basically,
they're going to come after him for wasting 20 minutes of their time.
That's not what it's about. It's about their demand. They found someone to demand money from.
Right. They're blackmailing Tim because he was trying to get a hooker.
Right.
Yeah. And basically, they said Tim is stiffing them. Right.
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 And because of that, he's going to find his family and kill him. Here's why I think this is such a scam and that how this is so false is because this pimp or this agency or this hooker who's running this blackmail isn't going to let's say he goes, you know what, I call your bluff. Go find my mom and kill her.
All right? you want to taunt the guy?
Well, that's what I would. I would taunt this guy and say, go find him and go kill him.
Right.
You think this idiot is going to go find Tim from DC's parents, all right, and kill him for $2,000?
Probably not. But if you make someone angry enough, they might do something stupid. Especially if you taunt them.
For 2K, you're going to risk your life.
I was surprised about the number of guys that called in that we didn't put on air that had
another astonishing
so
revelation.
So many guys have been through this.
If the junks got bonused on Escort Radio and John Radio, we would get 10 shares.
The guys
would be living in mansions.
My favorite part was all the junkies going, Tim, call the police. Just call the police. And then all the police officers called in off air and said, don't call the police. Don't bother us with
we
this.
We got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do. It's your fault for being scammed, you dummy.
But that upset me a little bit. Like, the police acted like they didn't care at all.
They don't care.
I mean, it sounds like a little bit of compassion. This guy's crying that he thinks, somebody's going to come after him and kill him.
Well, he shouldn't have been poking around on those websites.
So what? Because you're horny, you don't get help from the police?
Well, the police officer said that in the air.
He said, the horny police.
He said it's at the bottom of the barrel for us, finding some scammer for some guy who was committing an illegal act anyways.
Why can't jerking off just be good enough for some people?
I don't know. I thought about that all morning. I thought about that. Why do guys ruin their lives and put themselves in terrible positions for chasing women? Don't guys know how great jerking off is?
Nothing beats your own hand.
You're a professional. You know what you like. It gets the job done. No BS. You're not losing money. You're not dealing with drama. It all ends the same anyways.
Yeah. These people that call in, that said, yeah, I've gone to eBackpage 30 times. I've done about 30 times or whatever. Add up that $200 for 30 times. That guy spent $6K on vagina.
He could have
saved that money just by using his hand.
It's the same guys that go to massage parlors all the time and literally are paying hundreds of dollars for the same thing that you could do in 5 minutes. and it's a lot of fun. Not having some gross lady.
And you know what? You know what else is mind blowing about this whole
thing?
By the way,
Adam would be a guy who would chase escorts around.
If Adam had excess money, it would be such.
If I had money, I'd be living in Colombia.
It'd be a life leak.
Yeah,
but But don't guys like the chase a little bit? And, you know, you're paying this whore $200 to come over and do all the business, but
why can't you?
Isn't there some instinct?
These chicks are so gross, right? Like, why wouldn't he just go out to an Allentown bar and find some just hog out there and take her home at closing time?
Well, I know. Also, but the hunt. There's no hunt.
I know.
He's just paying the girl to come over and do the business.
To perform a service.
No, I mean, there's got to be some sort of chase, some sort of primitive lion in you that is in the weeds stalking, trying to find their prey.
It actually sounds like...
That kind of sounds a little creepy the way I described it there.
You sound like AY.
Yes.
It actually sounds like the worst night ever. You're wasting money.
You're alone in a hotel.
Yeah, you're wasting money. You're committing a crime of some sort, right?
Yeah, you got to worry about...
While the feds kicking in the front door.
Yeah, you got to worry about an officer of the law breaking down your door.
Now you have to worry about the cartel coming to cut your head off.
Yeah, you're gonna be in some sort of newspaper for a John hit.
Yeah, guys are so stupid sometimes.
We are.
They're so stupid. I'm not. I'm stupid about a lot of things. I'm not stupid enough to do something like that.
Order a hooker.
I just have zero interest. Also, I don't want some
meth head putting condoms on me and telling me my time's up.
I don't even like
I'm some sort of parking meter.
not only that, I don't want to have sex. I don't want to let down the escort. Can you imagine how much sex she has, and then I'm the worst she's ever had. I can see that happening.
Telling her other whore friends.
She goes back to her pimp laughing at me.
Hey, you should have seen this John. He had bigger titties than me.
Right. Yeah. He lasted 20 seconds.
That was the easiest money I made for 30 seconds.
It sounds like a nightmare. But here, I actually have an update for the listeners. This is a bit season exclusive.
Yeah, bit exclusive.
So we got a kick out of Tim's story, and we are texting a lot. And so I texted him after the segment. And I was curious about one thing and one thing only.
This should win the Pulitzer Prize.
Right, this is great
journalism right here.
So of course he was steamed up earlier in the night. He goes through a traumatic experience.
Yeah, I mean, he's so horny that he needs an escort.
He needs an escort. And he said he had two options, either get an escort or hook it himself, right?
Right.
So he goes through this whole experience. He's getting threatening messages about guys who want to kill him.
He's telling them all his middle school that he went to.
Right. So I had one question for him. I said, Tim, did you still hook yourself on Monday night? Because I know what I would have done that. And he goes,
a death threat doesn't ruin your libido.
He goes, twice, LOL. And so I said, was it Latina porn?
Because he was looking for a spicy Latina.
Yeah, that's what he said. He was after a Latina escort. And he said, no, BBW. Maybe I should go to Plenty of Fish, LOL. So I sent him the crying laughing emoji, and all you guys out there are gonna know who this is. So he said he was watching BBW porn. So I said, Sarah J? ? Brothers get sized for Sarah J, and he goes, "My Lord, yes, even bigger if possible. I like the chubsters."
Sarah J was the hottest back in 2009.
She was.
Still is. She's the goat.
No. I stumbled into a recent Sarah J video.
Oh my God.
That will ruin your night. I mean, she was disgusting 10 years ago, but in 2021, a whole new ball game.
How old is she now?
She looks like she's 55.
She's just so beat up. She slammed right into a brick wall.
I mean, look, she was never hot. She was always...
Sarah J is the definition of available.
What was the allure about Sarah J?
Is that she had a big butt.
Because she was so gross in the face, even 15 years ago. But she had that big butt.
And this was before Big Butts came like super hot.
Do you even know who Sarah J is?
No.
Oh my God.
You're too young.
Yeah, you're too young.
Who's the we sound like Pete Medhurst. Who's the, like all the 80s babes that Pete Medhurst always talks about, like the Swedish woman? Sia or something, yeah. Something like that. Pete always like names off like these females from the 80s who did porn. I feel like a creep now.
Well, this is our wheelhouse because this is in our youth when porn first hit the internet. Sarah J was a megastar.
She was, but she's just gross. I don't know what to say, but
I think the allure was because she was dirty.
She looked like she was available. Like you
exactly.
could get her.
Available. Yeah. You could have sex with her. Adam could have sex with her.
Yeah, Adam, you know that I know somebody that used to those women used to go to like town to town and you could hook up with them. Like you could pay to have sex with Sarah J.
I think we know the same person.
I think we do too. I don't think he ever followed through, but he was always titillated by like spending $1,000 to have sex
for a night with Sarah.
Yeah, exactly. And they were just like D-list porn stars. I'm sure they still do that kind of thing. I don't know.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. It's their side hustle.
It's their side hustle. Well, maybe not now with OnlyFans. But that was a wild segment today. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, your homework tonight, Adam, is to Google Sarah J.
All right.
Yeah. At least watch one video.
Watch one video.
And give me your review.
Right.
All right. Well, I like her as much as like Lisa Ann.
Different class of women.
Yes. Okay.
I don't know.
The different stratosphere.
Yeah. What did you guys make of EB's obsession with Katie Couric this week?
I like it.
So random, right?
You know, it's good to have some fresh blood in the EP.
So much.
Britney stuff is starting to get
so old. I've been telling you this for forever.
No, I've stopped. Dude, I've stopped putting Britney's stuff in
the EP.
He's
finding his own?
He finds his own Britney stuff.
Yeah, it's Britney.
It's been a lot of Britney.
Too much Britney. I actually like the Ben Affleck stuff.
I don't know why, but
he's a guy.
It hasn't run its course.
No, it's just because he's a guy. He's a guy whose life is falling apart.
Yeah,
and I could actually do a Ben Affleck story every day of the entertainment page, but I'm tired of the Britney. I just don't care about her, and tired of the J-Lo. But Katie Couric was a new one.
By the way, it tilts me to no end. You say Katie Couric.
I know. I like saying Couric. I like saying Couric. Katie Couric. Whatever.
Katie Couric. I grew up on Katie Couric and Matt Lauer. They were
the
best. I know,
but Drab says like Couric.
No, whatever. Katie Couric.
Oh my God, you really do botch it.
Yeah.
Katie
Couric. It's been tilting me for the last few days.
I know, yes.
And no one else has caught on to it.
I actually
do.
And
I know he's doing a bit because that's his thing is mispronouncing words.
Tom Green.
All right, Katie Couric.
All right.
I actually didn't find the bullying stuff that interesting. EB said, insane, threw her life away for this. Like anybody still cares about Katie Couric.
So is Eric going to read the book? I think he needs to follow through. If he's this interested in her life, I think he needs to read the book and kind of do a book report for us. Highlight all the juicy parts and come in and give us a rundown, a synopsis, a Cliff Notes version of it.
Right, because now he's just reading headlines and overreacting.
Yeah.
What did you make about the dirty underwear? You seemed really into that. Like... I don't know what you're picturing.
Someone
even said Drab likes that. I don't think I'm not into soiled underwear.
No, I didn't say soiled, but
well, that's maybe, what I was thinking.
Oh, I was thinking like sweat laden.
Oh, okay. Well, so do you think like she's
you know how when you're in college or when you're 34 years old and you don't know if a pair of underwear is dirty or not and you do the sniff test?
Right, okay.
I imagine Katie Couric doing that with her panties and then go, ooh, these are raunchy, and then turning them inside out and then getting dressed.
There was nothing sexy about that story, about her looking like and living like a teenage boy and wearing soiled boxers around the house.
I think Katie Couric does the sniff test a lot, every day.
And if that was a gross story.
And you know what? Maybe she's trying to be helpful to her maid.
Why?
Trying to keep the laundry count down.
She was the nanny. She wasn't the maid. Yeah.
She's trying to keep the laundry count down. She doesn't have enough Tide.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think the Katie Couric stories are going to do.
We say we have female listeners. There's no way. I want to know if a female listener actually does the sniff test. That's got to be a guy thing.
That's a guy thing.
It's got to be a guy thing.
Such a guy thing.
Can I tell you about my tilt of the week that has to do with this? maybe that's a segment with this that we can come up with our own tilt of the week. JP screaming at Eric that he needs details of what Katie Couric said to her nanny was so tilting. It was making me so angry, and Eric was like, "I don't know. I don't remember. The story is that she's bullying people." And he's like, "Give me details. Why did JP need details of it? And like, why did he need EB to rattle them off?
I don't know. Maybe he's a Katie Couric fan.
I think he was. He was like a leave Katie Couric alone boy. Right? Yeah. Like he was insulted that EB was attacking her.
If the guys did that to JP for every story that JP did, mm-hmm. can you imagine how annoyed he'd be or how defensive he'd be?
No, I don't want JP. I don't want any more details from JP. Too many details in JP stories.
Can we talk about JP not leaving the office today? Is that a bit season topic?
What do you mean?
The fact that he was just talking to everybody and talking their ear off. Left.
He does that every time. Yeah. I mean, what do you make of the Daily Deuce?
The Daily Deuce? It's, well, something I noticed is JP was praising the segment, like going, "Oh, that's a good idea." All right,
why would JP be praising a deuce segment? He never even talks during those segments because he's grossed out or he doesn't like
duty talk.
Yeah,
JP liked the segment because the name had alliteration. Yeah. And JP loves alliteration, so he is in support of the Daily Deuce.
He would do a segment he doesn't like just because of the alliteration.
Yes,
he's all about branding.
I think that's why he canceled QB Quarter of. He didn't like the name enough.
Yeah, there was no alliteration.
By the way, JP canceled QB Quarter of. More or less.
No, he tried to usurp it, and then Drab put it down.
I got Rick about it one day. He came in and said, like, we need to be doing Mondays, and it was too much. So I just phased it out.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to be missing it.
Yeah, Drab put a bullet in its head.
Right. The thing about that made me laugh about the Daily Deuce is that Cake said, new segment alert. Like, we're going to be doing this segment weeks on end, or it's a new permanent benchmark on the Junkies.
It's not a benchmark, I will say that.
It was just funny.
We're going to do it Friday, and that's it. That's going to be the end of the Daily Deuce.
There was one farting story earlier in the week that we actually put on the rundown. And then we had breaking news on Wednesday or Tuesday.
Yeah, about Meghan Trainor's toilets.
And so they made a comment about too many deucing stories. So then we just figured we'd finish the week out with it. But it's certainly not going to be a segment on the show of us talking about farting and every day at 9:45.
Yeah, at 9:45, we're not talking about dumps or passing gas.
I'm actually not opposed to it, but
maybe not for the Junks.
Right.
Did you ever think, though, would you do the double toilet bit?
No. With who, my wife?
I would do it. I would do it with another bro. I don't care. I mean, I get bored when I'm taking a dump. If I had someone to talk to or...
No, it's different. Oh, whoa. Hold on, it's different. It's very different sitting next to a person in a stall.
Adam, who was last week against, like, so homophobic about male locker rooms and taking showers with a bunch of guys,
I was against pissing on each other's legs, all right? You took it way too far with that.
So now with no stall, you want to sit in the same room as your friend Larry.
You want to stare at me while a turd is coming out.
No, I won't look at you, but if you're next to me or in front of me, I'll talk to you.
You know what, actually, I'm curious about?
I used to play battle shoots all the time.
Adam hears these segments and thinks, what wild thing can I say to blow the guys away? Oh, I got it. I'm going to agree with Meghan Trainor and want to take a duty next to my buddy Larry.
I see nothing wrong with
you
it.
And Larry.
Nothing wrong with it. There's two guys taking power dumps and talking about their days.
You're a weird one.
Yeah, you do that and get back to us.
I mean, it's not as weird as EB taking pictures or calling his kids into the room. Well, look at this big log.
Well, that is weird, too. You want to be just as weird?
You're actually right about that. EB and his brother texting pics of their duty.
Why, What do you What do you make of Eric's phrasing of it?
You know, can I tell you something?
Baking a brownie.
I know. Oh my god.
I feel like you and me know how to talk about farting segments and play the sound effects and make them funny. I found out. We found out this week that EB doesn't know the line, and he went so far past that talking about. Him and Matt Bickle sending each other duty pics and talking about it coiling around the toilet. It was so gross. I wanted to freaking puke.
If I had to hear him describe it as unbreakable one more time.
It was so over the top. You know what? Adam, no wonder Adam liked that segment.
The adjective unbreakable had me puking in my mouth.
It was too much.
It's just baking a brownie.
Yeah. How many times did he say baking a brownie? Maybe the grossest phrase in American language. And then he said it today. He ripped one in CK's office.
He said, "Sorry guys, I'm baking a brownie."
He's so gross. Yeah, but he's got a problem with what I'm wearing, and he's the grossest person and most disheveled person in this building. I don't know. That segment was too much. The Daily Deuce ended. I knew I wanted out of it.
You know, that might be my tilt of the week.
Right.
Is the phrase baking a brownie. It's funny, but it's so tilting.
I never want to hear that phrase again. Daily Deuce is a fun idea, but
yeah, enjoy it tomorrow because it's getting flushed after that.
All right. Nice one. A good week on the show this week. I think we got to pay attention. We can't forget about Fridays. Fridays are a big shtick day on the show. And we got to remember what happens on Friday can carry over to the next bit season.
Correct.
Was there something from last Friday?
No.
The guy's got
but
nothing.
But be aware.
Yeah. Just saying, we can recap.
Can I ask you about that, though? Because I got a DM from someone saying they didn't understand what we meant when we said the guy's got nothing.
Right.
So what I'm just wondering, what can you notice about the guys?
I can tell you exactly
good
when the guy's got nothing. When you listen to that first segment, and you hear them rip off five topics in about 14 minutes during that first segment where they jump around from every news story known to man. They recap the Thursday night game. Eric is too busy looking at his Orbitz page, thinking about where he's going to travel to. Jason's thinking about what country club he's playing this weekend. And JP's got his mileage on his mind about how far he's going to run. And Cakes is thinking about fantasy and poker, and they're literally talking about nothing for 14 minutes.
Yeah.
They go from topic to topic to topic.
You
they
guys
bounce
may
around.
Not know. You guys may not know.
That means they got nothing.
They got nothing when they blow through the rundown in the first segment. And it means, like, first of all, they're not even looking at the rundown and the outline and knowing what to save and how to. Yeah. When the guy's got nothing is when they'll say, "Did you see Juan Soto was in the front row at the Dodgers game?" Yeah. And it's like the main topic of the day that we're going to be talking about. And they randomly say it, JP, with like 60 seconds left in a segment.
Friday morning, when you hear Eric or someone else go, "Man, the Seahawks blew out the Rams. What happened?" When you hear that, that's when the guy's got nothing.
Yeah. You can kind of tell. It's just
it's kind of an instinct.
Yeah.
It's a producer instinct.
It's like when they just blurt out like something that is going to be a big topic later.
Yeah,
in
when
the
they're when they're doing topic roulette in the first segment, that's when the guy's got nothing.
Exactly. JP did that earlier in this week when we were talking about the Washington football team trainer. Didn't he blurt out something?
Brought up Lurch's TikTok in the middle of that. Set up.
Oh, that was actually that's
was that your tilt of the week?
No, that's my tilt of the week from you. Wow. I was so tilted at Adam this past weekend. Adam, last week on the show, we all know what Adam said was way inappropriate, and we probably should have cut it out of the show,
but we didn't.
We didn't.
But we didn't talk about it.
We didn't really talk about
it. It was
about
like Fight Club on the show.
Because I don't want to antagonize Jason.
Right, and Jason's uber protective.
Like,
of his
kids. I want our joining on the guys to be fun and kind of be lighthearted and them not to take it seriously. What Adam said was kind of weird and funny, kind of funny at the same time.
It was some sort of weird. It came from a perverse place.
It made me uncomfortable.
Yes.
And then he's like tweeting me.
He's doubling down on
how stupid it was to say what he said. And he's tweeting me screen grabs of Jason on his daughter's TikTok. It like blew me away. First of all, he's like, who knows? I don't even know Jason's daughter's names, let alone their TikToks. And then he's tweeting me videos of their TikToks, wanting me to comment again on his daughter's, which I'm not going to do.
Yeah, we're out of the daughter biz.
First off, you guys are pussies, all right? Because that's what bit season is for, is to Joan on the junkies. Second off, I was making fun of the fact that Lurch was in the TikTok making weird faces and talking about Josh Richards, who I know you love because you're obsessed with Stoolies and the BFF pod.
I've never listened. You just say wild things. I've never listened to BFF pod. I'm definitely not a Stoolie. I like Dave Portnoy. Okay. And I know who Josh Richards is just because he's in, like, yeah, I guess he's one of the top influencers, but I know some of those people who aren't on that show. But it was just,
you knew everything about that.
I did not. I
had nothing to do with Lurch's daughter on the TikTok. I had everything to do with Lurch's faces that he was.
Why are you following them?
Somebody sent it to me.
Your instincts are terrible.
It's bit season material.
No, it's not. Let me tell you. Jason's daughters are not bit season material. We don't talk about
It wasn't about Jason's daughters. It was about him on TikTok. The image of Jason Bishop, who doesn't even have Twitter or Instagram, getting on a TikTok.
You on his daughter's TikTok is weird.
Especially after the comments.
It's a private TikTok.
It's not like
JP's daughter where he's trying to promote
it's
her.
It's a private TikTok.
It would be less weird.
Have you ever heard of TikTok being private? Are you kidding me?
Adam, it would be less weird if you didn't say how much you wanted to f*** his daughters.
Yeah. I didn't say that.
Basically, that's what you said.
No, not at all.
Yeah, that's basically what you said.
No, I said somebody in Blacksburg.
The fact that you were even thinking about that is weird.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are radio legends. You know, if I was able to bang, you know, one of the hosts of NBC or ABC, I'd be psyched to do that.
Can I tell you something?
To do a local celebrity.
There's not one student in Blacksburg that cares about Jason Bishop. All right.
Okay.
Only someone would be interested in his daughters because they're attracted to her or they know her. Nobody wants to have sex with his daughters because it's Lurch's daughter.
I think you might be watching too much porn.
Yeah, it was so weird.
He's a celebrity.
All right. You got some infatuation with celebrity that I don't understand.
All right. Well, here I'll say, I'm not talking about his daughters anymore. You tweet all you want about it. Yeah. Don't include me in the tag.
I'm not saying anything about them. I'm talking about Lurch.
Don't tag me.
It was a listener that sent it first.
All right. No, good
and,
for
and then JP brought it up. LOL. JP brought it up on air. I never even sent it to JP.
I know, because JP does that. He's got no filter. He doesn't know what's appropriate on air either. You and JP are in the same boat.
Yeah, because JP had nothing.
Right. But that's the thing. You're too scared to attack JP. Grow some balls. He's always tweeting. People say, oh, bit season sucks, and he'll respond, thanks for listening. You know, why don't you tell him not to respond? Because that brings more attention to it. Because people see the comments when you respond.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Are people saying bit season sucks? I didn't see those comments.
No, it was just one person. They probably wanted me fired.
Oh, no. I see a lot of comments about you off the show.
I just think...
Which I like. I always
just think
favorite those.
Sometimes you're scared to take a shot at JP.
I think we've been pretty hard on JP. Lovingly, though.
Yeah, I would say we've been kind of tough on him. Yeah, we were tough on Eric.
Yeah, but Eric likes it.
Yeah.
We just pick out their flaws. But for us, it's all in good fun. You want to hate on people. You legitimately hate it.
I want to get revenge for them calling me a stinky, ugly, fat piece of crap for 5 years. Yeah.
Well,
I don't see anything against that. That's why me calling anything about Lurch or anything, I don't give a crap. Are you kidding me? They were making fun of my parents, you know? Like, it's all fair game.
Adam,
what do you mean?
Adam, they tell me I have sex with hippos.
Right.
All right. Yeah. It's not that big a deal. I don't have
not taking anything personal.
We might have
personal.
To pull Adam aside and talk to him about what's appropriate on the show and what we're trying to get out of it. He's trying to ruin careers. He's out for some revenge. He thinks this podcast is his chance at revenge.
I meant it in a funny way. I don't want to ruin careers. Are you kidding me? I love the junkies.
Okay.
All right. And their daughters.
Yeah, their daughters.
You guys are creepy. I still can't believe that's worse than you guys openly saying you enjoy on each other's legs when you're in the shower.
Hey, do you know?
Valdez said below the knees is okay. I wanted to vomit. Are you kidding?
Hey, do you know Adam pitched the idea to me of he wanted to do a Junkies Hot Daughter contest?
No, I didn't.
Are you serious?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
but you believed it.
I believed you for a second. That is actually something he would 100% pitch. Don't give him any ideas. It's so inappropriate. All right, guys. We got to get out of here.
Yes.
What are we doing? Before we get fired.
I got a tea time.
This might be the last bit season.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. Thank you guys for listening to Bit Season Episode 5. We are at 50,000 downloads already through four episodes. Yes. That's a big number for us, and we are having a great time doing it.
And a specific thank you to Tom on my softball team, because last night at softball, he said, he goes, "Hey, man, really digging the show." I said, "Oh, great, man." And I thought I was talking about the Junkies, and he was talking about Bit Season specifically.
Silly.
He's a Bit Season P1, and he told me it's better than the Junks.
I do like those comments.
For those make me feel good.
I get pleasure out of that.
Yeah, a little bit. Right. Maybe we are kind of like Adam.
All right, guys. Thank you much, very much for listening. Have a great weekend. Be sure to tell people about the show. And
yes, please,
on your social media. We want to grow the show, and we want more people to enjoy it and turn more people on to the Junkies and to this show as well. And that's kind of like the big picture of it. We want people listening to the Junkies and talking about the Junkies. All right, guys, have a great weekend, and we will see you next Thursday.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.